that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, oh, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to The Geeky Bubble. I am your host, Jonah, and with me is the crosshair to my hunter, my mom, Maria.
Hello. Today we're going to discuss the season 3 episode, The Return.
Yes, The Return. So we had, last time, we had come up with a few guesses trying to figure out what this title meant. You know, at the time we came up with The Return of the Bounty Hunters, The Return to Pavu, which kind of happened, and then the return of Crosshair to the squad. But it was ultimately Crosshair returning to the planet where everything had pivoted for him, Barton 4, and that's where everything changed for him. And I was just wondering, what were your overall thoughts of the episode?
Very good. I really liked it because basically they came out full circle for Crosshair, you know, in his moment of change. So that was good to close that loop there.
Yeah, I thought it was a great episode. And then having just watched it recently, too, it was all fresh in our minds. So when we saw the icy planet, at least I was just like, oh, okay, so we're coming back here then. This is what's happening.
When I saw that the bird, and I went like, those birds are not everywhere.
Yeah. So that's what struck me as like, oh, that's interesting. So they're bringing it back around. This is coming full circle for him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a way, full circle for Hunter also, because Hunter has to, you know, come to that realization that Crosshair is back and things now are different. And it may look like they're back to the way they were before, but without Tech there, of course, it's always going to be
a reminder
that everything is not all the same.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing their dynamic moving forward.
Yeah.
But Omega waking up in the ship was such a blissful moment.
Yeah, and her face when she saw the light and she knew, it really made it out.
Yeah, it made it out. It was such a sharp contrast to how she had woken up in her cell in Mount Tantus. But here she is being bathed in the sunlight and hugging the real Lula. The real one.
not one that she have to made out of stuff that she stole.
Yeah, straw and other materials. Which makes me wonder, do you think Emery took the straw Lula from Omega's room? Because it had been left behind. It was on the bed.
Yeah, well, with Emery now, it's all speculation until something happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she's one character that apparently they're guarding very well.
Yeah.
You know, her inclinations.
Yes, it's true.
They're going to keep us guessing to the end.
Yeah. There was a conversation I had with Fangirls Going Rogue, their chats that they have every other Monday. And one of them, Trisha, she brought up a very great point about Emery keeping the doll prior to giving it to Omega, back to Omega, and how you would only keep something if you're curious about it.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a very interesting perspective, because I hadn't thought of it that way. I thought she was keeping it just to, like, have it in the event that she needed it, like, being smart about it in a strategic way.
Yeah.
Seeing it from that angle of it being a curiosity.
What is it that makes me different from her?
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's just me missing Emery. I wish we could see more of Emery. Where's Emery? I want to know more. So we find out Crosshair is training because he's still experiencing those tremors in his hand. And he told Omega he's fine, but it's still affecting him. So why do you think Crosshair doesn't get his hand medically checked by AZ or even someone else on the island? Is it because, he thinks that the problem will go away on its own, or maybe he feels embarrassed about his condition, or he might not want to be seen as a weak link.
No, I think it's more of, one, the fact that he doesn't want to know if it's permanent or not.
Oh.
You know, sometimes not knowing is better because we still have hope of things changing.
Yeah.
And another reason could be the fact that obviously he feels that he needs to be punished.
Oh, yes. This is a consequence of him siding with the empire.
So, you know, it is a reminder. And sometimes we do allow bad things to happen to us because psychologically we think we need to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
And
we deserve it.
Yeah, and we live with the consequences of those things because that's our punishment. That's what we deserve.
Mm. I like that answer because maybe this is him accepting that this is his condition, but he's still trying to find a way to work with it.
Yeah.
And that's why he's training.
So if it goes away, it could be a fear of, okay, could I go back to being who I was? You know, it's that thing, like... It's that crush that he doesn't want to let go.
Right.
So because psychologically speaking, he's not ready to let it go. I think we're going to still see it flare up every now and then until he finally chooses to stop it and say, no, this can be fixed.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. Very nice answer, Mai. Very nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Without preparation.
Without preparation, that's right. Because I have to prepare. Otherwise, I will sound like a maniac with no direction.
and if I sometimes sounds like I'm rambling.
No, you're not.
Because of the fact that I do not have notes. I just,
no.
She, you know, you love asking me these questions for me to just come up with answers on the spot.
But you come up with great answers on the spot. That's the thing. You have a great skill for it. So thank you, Mommy. And so one of the things I'd been wanting to see for a while is Crosshair training Omega on how to be a sniper. Like, that would be so cool to see.
Yeah.
So I really loved that Omega asked him, what skills does a marksman need or require? And he tells her being a sniper is more than just looking through a scope. It's about patience, reading the environment, and knowing when you've got eyes on you. And I'm probably reading too much into it, but I wonder if this is advice that she might use later on in the future, like if she finds herself in a situation.
I don't doubt it, because obviously she's been training with all of them in one way or another.
In tech with flying.
And she's been acquiring skills, which is what they wanted to do, because she's one of them. So. And her purpose may not be to be a soldier, but in the environment they're in, she needs to be prepared. And this is something they already knew, that she had to be trained. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, to her just using those words and maybe a moment here and there to show us that she's training, she's learning how to hone that skill.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I remember us talking about way back when we were doing Rebels episodes, one of the things that came up in conversation was about Ezra and taking a life.
Yeah.
And we really see that happen like at the beginning of season 3 when he takes over that, I forget what it is now, an ATST, an AT whatever.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But there was a pilot in
ATT?
There.
Something.
No. I think that's AT&T.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But Ezra essentially throws that pilot over the platform and the pilot falls to his death. And so, yeah, I always wanted to see, like, some of the consequences of that. I honestly cannot remember if they ever addressed it. I think it was just part of the, like, their occupational hazard. Like, it just comes with the territory. So I wonder whether Omega will be in a situation like that where she will have to take a life. Otherwise, it could be her life being taken.
Well, yeah, I think that with her, we may be able to see it because of the fact that the way she is, she wants to save people. She wants to help. So it would be very interesting to see the consequences, not just to others around her, like what we saw with Tech, but to her directly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. And I'm hoping we can see it, unlike what happened with Ezra.
Yes, true. Very true. And so AZ calculated his target success rate and said it was at 53%, which is well below his average. I mean,
come on.
I would be sad to hear that number as well.
Yeah, I'd be jumping up like 53%. I can take the targets more than 50% of the time.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Especially when my hand is shaking like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a good point. You see the glass half full.
But we know that's not how Crosshair see it.
Right. And, you know, that's bound to mess with his head. And I know the circumstances are different because he was tortured, but it kind of reminds me of an injury suffered during war or sports injury or workplace injury. Things that rob you of feeling 100%, because not only are you experiencing physical trauma, but there's also mental and psychological trauma.
That's PTSD.
Yeah. And so I remember I wanted to see that with Echo when he was rescued. So I'm glad that we're kind of seeing something here with Crosshair, because with Echo, I felt like they had completely brushed over it. And he just went with the Bad Batch, and then that was it. And I'm like, that's it? There's nothing, there's no more to that?
He acclimated so really quickly. Fast to his whole cybernetic new self. You know? It will be interesting, again, to see that here and there. They don't need to give us too much of it, but just the opportunity to know that it's really something affecting him, that it's really something he's thinking about, and how is it going to affect the whole group mentality, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm curious. And do you think Hunter, because I didn't get this impression, but do you think Hunter and Wrecker noticed the tremors or even know the extent of what he went through or what he was put through?
No, I don't think so. It could be, but I don't feel that it was communicated
right
properly. Yeah. If it indeed they understand and they know, I don't feel it was properly communicated through the episode. And being that it was an episode where we were seeing his full circle coming around by returning to the place where his new journey started, mm-hmm. I think that maybe we may be able to see it. And I'm really hoping that we do.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's very important. Whenever we have, whether it's animated series or movies, that's very important to see, even if it's just a little bit, of that mid-journey of a soldier who gets injured and now is no longer a soldier and he has to acclimate into a different society. So we get to see the beginning, we get to see the end, but very few times do we get to see the middle. And like I said, we don't need to see it, a lot of it, just so that we know it is being addressed.
Yeah.
It is an important middle.
Yeah.
That middle really helps and really determines the end.
And I love how Omega took the old sister role seriously in this episode by telling Crosshair he needed to talk with Hunter and Wrecker. And there were a few moments of her being the mature one and Crosshair and Hunter acting like little brothers and little kids, especially when Crosshair said he started it. And when Hunter pushed him, like, I really loved seeing Omega being the responsible one here.
But you know what? That scene when she tells Crosshair, you know, I'm older than you. I'm your older sister, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and he just sort of like chuckled.
Yeah.
That was so cute.
That was a very adorable, sweet moment between them. Yeah.
Because he knows it's true. She is older and she is the older sister. She just happens not to grow the way that they do.
Yeah, yeah. And Wrecker is so easygoing because he said, Omega trusts him. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I love that.
I know, yeah. And it's like he doesn't hold grudges or hard feelings towards the past, unlike Hunter. But do you think that's also because they lost Tech, so Wrecker is more willing to forgive?
Yeah, definitely. Because in the scene at the end when they're both coming, he runs towards them and he hugs them.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that's his family. Mm-hmm. Those are his brothers. Like with them, who is he without them? He already lost one.
Yeah,
you know, and I just love Wrecker. He's the lovable one.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I love him.
And his puns here and there. Why does he always have to be monster?
Yeah. Here's a question. So, like, let's say Tech had survived. Tech is here. Let's put that there. Do you think he would still be as forgiving towards Crosshair?
I think he will be following Tech's lead.
Oh, okay.
Because we do see that he used to follow Tech in terms of the things that Tech said, because to him, Tech is the smart one.
Right. He knows what to do.
So I'm not the smart one. I'm the strong one. I'm the brawn. So he says this, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to follow him, But Tech is not there anymore. But he still remembers the things that Tech said and the things that Tech represented.
And Omega's the next best thing.
Exactly. Because if Omega says that's it.
Yeah.
You know,
that's good
no
enough.
Question.
That's good
it.
Enough. Yeah. And I don't know if you noticed this detail, but when they were all sitting in that table on Pabu, there were these table coverings. No, you didn't notice because these are things that I tend to notice. they had these moons, and there was a full moon, and on either side, it was the rest of the phases. So, like, the waxing moon, the waning moon, the first quarter, last quarter moons, and so on. And so I found that interesting because some people believe in those phases having spiritual meanings. Things like growth and reflection, which is what Crosshair is
going through
right now. And I couldn't help but like look online to see what I could find. Something of credibility. I mean, I found this Spirituality and Health magazine that's been around for 25 years. I'm like, okay, I guess this is the best thing I can find. And to them, a waxing moon means when the moon seemingly begins to grow with the reflection of the sun, time is best spent getting into action and committing to moving towards the heartfelt desires which you uncovered during the new moon. The spiritual meaning of this moon phase is one of energizing and putting into motion the intentions that you have committed yourself to. And for the waning moon, they have the spiritual meaning of this moon phase is that of restoring balance. As the cycle of the moon continues and light begins to dim, there can be a sense of letting down, of letting go. In this energy, it's important to stay strong in your resolve to do the steps that lead you toward what you really want in your life, and also to fully realize what is no longer serving you. So yeah, I'm probably reading too much into it, but those little details stood out to me. I was like, ooh, moon phases. I even have a ring that's moon phases. I just thought that was very interesting.
It is. I, of course, did not notice.
Yeah.
I noticed the little monkey creature.
Oh, the Munoz.
The Munoz and how they're taken to Batcher.
Oh, yes, Batcher. Batcher just kept chasing them around. Yeah.
They were playing together. They're a little happy family. Yeah. They were all like, she was sleeping and they were all on top of her, like snuggling and sleeping with her.
Yeah. It was adorable. It was a very domestic moment. And so during that scene at the table, Tech is mentioned because they have this encrypted device, but they don't have the expertise anymore to decrypt it. And we had mentioned that, like, they're going to come across a situation where they're going to need Tech.
Yeah.
And Tech is not going to be there. And that is this moment. So I couldn't help but notice how the guys haven't talked about Tech's death. Like, it's something that might have happened off screen, or maybe they just haven't had that conversation yet. And I was wondering whether you were disappointed of not seeing that conversation happen, or do you think they should have that conversation? Is that something that they need to do? Or is it one of those things that is silently understood and doesn't require any words?
That's a difficult one.
Right?
Yeah. Because honestly, by the reaction, I don't think anybody has touched on it.
I don't think either.
They're still like, it happened and we're continuing. That's it. But nobody has really approached it and talked about it.
I mean, it's a tough topic to talk about.
Yeah. And especially because it was moments that happened one after the other. Tech fell. They lost Tech. They lost Omega.
Mm-hmm.
So now we cannot process the loss of Tech because we know his death. We cannot solve that, but we can find Omega.
Yeah. So we'll put our energies on that.
So now Omega is back.
So where now is that conversation?
Yeah. Like, when is that conversation going to take place? And again, there's things in the way because Crosshair, the fact that we're not trusting him, like, what is he's doing? Like, what has he been doing? Is it true? Is he really back? You know, has he changed?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that with this episode that we see that he actually talks with Hunter, and Hunter really, like, let's go and says, you know what? What matters is what happens moving forward, you know, basically. Then that conversation can take place.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's through just Omega talking about it.
Yeah.
Maybe with Crosshair, because Crosshair wasn't there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to imagine what that would look like and what needs to be said, what should be said. And I'm the kind of person who is very private. I've had people recently who have died and passed away. I process those things on my own. Like, I'm not just the kind of person that has to talk about it. But then I know there are other people who need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like Tech. I feel like I process things differently. And so, it's kind of tough because I'm trying to imagine what that conversation will look like. Like, what is it that we should say? What is it that people out there in the fan community who want this conversation to happen, what is it that you want them to say? Because I honestly cannot, like I said, because of the type of person I am, I can't envision it. And it's a tough conversation to have. Like, I guess talking about good memories, like the things that you remember, the things that you miss.
What I would like to see, and maybe we get to see it, is when Fee comes into play.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is something that, please, it needs to be addressed. Because that was one of the last things we see Tech actually experiencing before he dies.
So
I'm hoping that it could happen through Fee. Because Fee is more of the character that will need to talk, that will need to say something.
True.
Because she always has something to say. You know what I'm saying?
She does. She does.
So hopefully we do see a small conversation, one or two sentences, something that emotionally addresses and everybody can say and just breathe and relax.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, it will be disappointing otherwise.
Yeah,
so here's hoping they don't gloss over it.
Because I get it with them. And Omega, I actually sort of get it that nobody has spoken about it.
It's the whole compartmentalization thing.
Yeah. And they are who they are. They're clones. Mm. And that's how they do and work, you know?
Yeah.
But with Fee, come on. That's totally different.
I really hope it gets addressed when she enters the scene. And so I like that Crosshair was the one to offer the suggestion of finding an Imperial terminal because they obviously don't have tech. So he offered this little, hey, you can plug it into this and it'll work. And he also suggested the facility on Barton 4. And these are some of the small ways that he's making up for his wrongs and some of the small ways where he's earning back their trust.
Yeah.
Although Hunter is like, remote facility? I don't know.
Yeah. You say it was going to be people here, but it's abandoned.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I didn't get updates when I was in my cell. Oh, they had such great back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. And then Omega, she didn't like the idea of being split up. And Hunter said, I'm not going to risk you getting captured again. To which she said, I need to do this, Hunter. She's been very vocal lately about how she left those clones behind and how she wants to help them. And my immediate thought following that bit of conversation was this mission of hers and what she wants to do is going to be the death of Hunter. And I'm like, I'm really hoping that's not the case.
Oh, my God. Jonah.
I know. I'm sorry.
Do I want to see this? Do you really want to keep... want me to keep watching this?
I know. But Hunter reminds me of one of those dads whose daughter has him wrapped around her finger. And like, he can't say no to her. And I know we've talked about how hiding isn't the answer, but they also don't have the resources to fight against the Empire, to protect themselves against the Empire. And if you were in Hunter's position, would you have put your foot down and said, no, you're staying? Or do you think it was good that they had brought her with them?
I'm of the opposite. Like, he wants to protect her by keeping her away from tough situations. I'm of the kind that protects more by keeping close. If you are close to me, I can protect you.
Well, I mean, he was close to her when Hemlock came and he had to...
But just the same way in which he couldn't help her then could be if he leaves it behind.
Mm.
Then the thing would be, I should have had her with me.
I
should have brought her with me.
I should have been here, or she should have been with me.
At least,
yeah,
with her being next to him, if he cannot handle the situation, that's one thing. But if he leaves her behind and she ends up being captured, it's worse.
I see. Yeah, that's
a
good point.
So I'd rather my kids are with me when I can see what's happening, where I can control some of the situation. And even if I lose control and something happens, at least they were with me and I can see it. It's not something that I speculate, you know?
Yeah.
I'm more with Omega on this. Let's keep together. If we keep together, we have a better chance that if we split apart.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't work out, at least we were together.
I mean, even that's technically what happened with Tech.
Yeah.
It didn't work out, but at least...
They were together, could be one of the reasons also why we haven't seen them talk about it.
Mm.
Because they have processed the loss and they know they were together. They saw it happening. There's no speculation. The only thing was what Crosshair says to Hunter, you're mad because you took them there.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was you who chose to go.
You know, and we're going to talk about that because, you know, I had to revisit the episode and I want to defend Hunter, but we'll get there.
But you know what I'm... You know the point that I'm trying to bring across, which is the fact that they were there.
Yes, yeah.
So the loss gets processed in the moment.
Yes.
Yes, you have feelings you have to deal with as they come, but...
You lived it.
Exactly.
You saw it happen.
You don't have to think about it. You don't have to speculate about it. You don't have to imagine it. You lived it.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah, whereas if you weren't part of the situation, you would want to talk about it. You would want to hear what it was that happened.
Yeah.
So that you can form your own opinion about it.
Which is why I would think that with Fee, it will get mentioned.
Ah.
Because we have that last scene with them too.
Yes.
And then he doesn't come back.
Yeah. Oh, man, I want it. I want it so bad. Even if it's going to break my heart. So we have Crosshair, who ends up getting his old armor back. And when when Wrecker gives it to him, he tells him it never felt right to get rid of it. And I wish we could dive into Crosshair's head in that moment and like learn about what he's thinking about. Because even after he hunted them down, after he tried to kill them, after he threatened them multiple times, they still kept his armor. You know, most people, when they feel betrayed, they throw that stuff out.
Yeah.
They throw it out. In the garbage it goes. But the guys kept it. And to me, it's a lot like how they still have Tech's goggles. They mourned for the loss of their brother, even though he was still alive. Crosshair, I'm referring to. The old Crosshair they knew had, quote unquote, died.
Yeah.
And when someone dies, most people tend to keep something that belonged to them because they want that reminder. And so I like that they had kept his armor and they didn't toss it out just because of what he ended up doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we have Crosshair returning to the planet where everything had changed for him. But he's coming back a changed man and he's wearing his old armor again, which I love. And even the planet looks a little different. You know, in the outpost, the colors were very gray and blue, cool colors. And now you have this brighter and warmer setting. It's a different season. So there's more yellows, pinks, reds. And it's such an interesting contrast between the two. And of course, our friend, the Ice Vulture, returns. Yes. It came back. And I like how the Ice Vulture didn't feel as ominous. Like, it wasn't circling like a vulture would, knowing that you were about to die.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that.
It was just observing. Oh, new people.
Yes. Yeah, more new activity. It even landed on the sensors, and we got to see a close-up view of it. And I liked when I was initially watching it, I was like, oh, wow, it came down to earth. And that's an expression that I would use to describe certain people, like that person's down to earth. It means that you're realistic, you're practical, but it also means having to face reality of everyday life. And here's Crosshair having to do that. So he was flying high for a time there with the Empire, but he has to come back down to earth now. And come back down to reality. And now he has to like mend the relationships that he's broken. So I like how they use that bird to represent his journey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff, Star Wars. And it was such a beautiful bird too.
Yes.
It reminded me a lot of the, I think it was called Vulptex. Now I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. The
from Rogue One? Yeah. Are you talking about Rogue One?
No, Pokemon.
That's a Vulpix. No, you're like, wait, no, not Rogue One. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Pokemon.
Oh, yes, Articuno. Articuno.
I don't remember the names, but I do remember the shapes. And there was this one that was like icy.
Yeah, Articuno. Yeah. No, but there's I think it was a Vulptex in Rogue One that was icy. But it was like a salt-like. I don't know what it was, but it was beautiful. But yeah, Pokemon.
Hey, you guys grew up with that, we did.
Which is why I remember Articuno. Like, who remembers that? And then when they get inside the facility, Wrecker asks why it was abandoned. And Crosshair said it's probably because it served its purpose. And Echo said, sounds familiar, because that's exactly what the Empire is doing and how they're treating the clones. And I like how that part of the conversation is what prompted Crosshair to look for the helmets.
Yeah.
Because one of the last things that the Imperial he killed told him was that Mayday served his purpose as a soldier of the Empire. And it was so sad when he picked up that helmet. Actually, when I watched it for the first time, I cried because it was that.
Because, and you see it that it impacts him.
Yes.
So different. And it goes to the fact that he has killed, you know, his brothers in the name of the Empire. And now here he is being a target of the Empire himself. Like, what was going through his head, you can see it in his face.
The loss,
the pain, everything.
Yeah. And I wonder, and I didn't think about this at the time when we watched The Outpost, but I wonder if Crosshair saw a bit of Hunter in Mayday. Because Hunter is the one that's closest looking to clones, to regular clones. And so I wonder whether there was a bit of Hunter that he might have seen in Mayday, or vice versa, whether he sees a bit of Mayday in Hunter.
Yeah.
And then earlier in the episode, Crosshair told Omega part of being a sniper is knowing when someone has eyes on you. And so he must have known that Hunter was watching him when he was holding and putting the clone helmets on the crate. And Crosshair obviously wasn't pretending. He wasn't putting on a show or anything. He was genuinely reflecting and paying a moment of silence, a moment of respect to these men who, unfortunately, nobody else will remember. And I think that's one of the saddest things, one of the most heart-wrenching things about all of this is that, with the exception of Crosshair, nobody is going to remember. These men. They're forgotten for the most part. And so when Hunter confronts Crosshair, Crosshair tells him, I risked everything to send you that message. You ignored it. You let Omega be taken to Tantus. She went through what she did because you failed. You're angry because she escaped with my help, not yours. And the conversation was, unfortunately, I was like, why did they choose this moment? It was unfortunately cut short by that warm creature. But I wish Hunter could have told him that they ignored his message about Plan 88, because that's what Crosshair had sent them. The plan was that they were being targeted by the Empire.
To go into hiding.
Yeah, to go into hiding. But it was Tech, Wrecker, and Omega who wanted to find him and find his location. And it was Hunter. This is where I'm defending Hunter. It was Hunter who was the one that said it's not worth the risk and that they'd be at a tactical disadvantage. But because the others wanted to do this mission, he went along with it. So all that said, do you think there's some truth to what Crosshair said, that Hunter's angry because she escaped with Crosshair's help and not his, or is Crosshair deflecting in that moment?
It could be because of the way that he didn't say anything. He didn't react. Yes, they get caught, but there's a moment of silence where he doesn't know what to say.
Yes, he doesn't know what to say.
And it could be because we did saw when Omega was captured, one of the episodes that we saw, we see a conversation between Hunter and Wrecker. And we know he's desperate. And we know he has that face of guilt of, I need to do this. I need to help her. I need to save her. She's there because of me. Mm. You know, that type of face and reaction where I'm the leader. I should have made the decision. I should have put my foot down.
It's so interesting because Hunter told Omega, you need to go with AZ and find Echo. Had Omega actually paid attention to Hunter, instead of wanting to be together, she would not have been captured.
But again, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know for sure. Yeah.
And if the intent was to capture her, she could have been captured.
Yeah.
And then at that point is, why? How?
Why? And then he would have been mad at Echo. Where were you?
But at least there, he saw it. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he needed to go about looking and searching for.
Yes,
it is a double sword.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
But it's a matter of preference. I'm with Omega in this. Sticking together, knowing.
Mm.
If we're going to die, we die together.
I got you. It was such an interesting conversation between Crosshair and Hunter. And I really wish Hunter had said, we did what we did to help you. Omega got captured because we were trying to look for you.
I do think he sees himself responsible.
Mm-hmm. Because he ultimately gave the okay.
We do see that desperation in his face when he's trying to get to her, risking whatever. Which Wrecker, of all people, say, last time we did this, we lost Tech.
Yeah.
So I do think that in a way, he does feel like it was his fault that she got captured. It was his fault that Tech died. Because what's a leader for if not making the decision, the tough decision?
Although, now that I'm thinking about it, when we had done that episode, one of the things that I was upset about with Hunter at the moment was, why did you veer off and look for whatever it was that he and Tech were looking for?
Yeah.
Because you guys, it should have been an in and out mission.
Yep.
And you guys should have been sweet on your way back home, even though, what's his face? Yeah. Wait, what's his face? I forget his name. Saw. Even though Saw was going to, destroy the whole thing anyway. Yeah. But and maybe he does feel that guilt then for doing that, for stepping away from what from it
the
was.
Plan. That the was plan. Not the plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Oh, so good. This show is so good, man.
And I'm pretty sure nobody's thinking of these things when they're writing that.
No. No, that's not true. They actually do. They actually do. Okay. Yeah, they're very purposeful. And I know because they're online. They're Joel Aaron, for example, when it comes to lighting, it's all done with a purpose, with a reason in mind. Like later in the episode, when they escape the worm and they're on the safe side, the way that Hunter's hair, that little loose hair, loose strand that he has in the front of his face, the way that it falls, the shadow on it creates a sort of like tattoo, crosshair-like tattoo on his eye. And that was a purposeful thing. And I was just like, oh my God, what? I never would have noticed that. Someone on Twitter highlighted it, and then Joel Aaron responded to it. And he's like, yeah, that's part of the storytelling. And so, all the things that we're analyzing and picking apart, they have thought of. I mean, there might be a few things here and there where they're like, wow, that's a really interesting interpretation. But for the most part, they're on it. And so I like how Hunter was so distracted by his argument with Crosshair that he didn't sense the worm coming.
Yes. I was going to say, like, what the heck is happening with his bat-like senses?
Bat-like senses.
He's not feeling it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, I totally, I was like, Hunter, why aren't you picking up on this? And it's not until he realizes that, things are happening that he acts. And he pushes Crosshair out of the way and he tells him to move. But it's something that distracted him. And I know a lot of people have been making references to Dune because of the whole worm thing. I haven't watched those movies, but I was the one being like, this is like Tremors.
Yes. Yes. No, it is like, it's Tremors. It is more like Tremors than Dune.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought. I thought of Tremors, not Dune.
I immediately thought of Tremors, but people have been, because Dune came out, I think, last weekend or something. So it's been in everyone's
Tremors.
Mind. Yeah.
Tremors.
1990, baby.
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie, but I found a few clips on YouTube because I was like, let me see if I can find something in here. And in one of the scenes, Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward, whose characters, the names I don't remember, but they fall off their horses and the creature ends up coming and cracking the ground between them. And
just like,
that's exactly what happens with Hunter and Crosshair, because there's a crack that forms between them in the ice. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Yeah. And I liked how this one Twitter user at Ahsoka's goggles, she said, you can interpret the crack in the ice as like a literal separation between Hunter and Crosshair to visually show their rift. And I'm like, oh man,
yeah,
that's deep.
Yeah,
that is deep. And in one of the replies, another person at Oakist Guitarist said, interesting that Crosshair returns to the place where he was fully broken to begin becoming whole again. I'm like, yeah. Wow. See, I know social media rots brains, but sometimes
every now and then a gem comes
up. Yeah, there's real gems out there in how people interpret.
You just have to dig.
Yeah. Look through the noise. And I love how Wrecker shouts, why? Why is there always a huge monster?
Like, I love his one-liners here and there, because he's I love Wrecker.
Yeah, like and I remember saying the same thing to myself, because when the worm came up, I'm like, oh come on, why is there always a creature? But then when I think about it, Star Wars uses these big creatures as a way to create conflict, tension, to bring people together. Because think back to Zeb and Callus in that Star Wars Rebels episode when they were trapped on the icy moon. Mm-hmm. And they had to deal with that creature. They had to work together. And then there was also that episode in Star Wars Resistance with the Ace Squadron. They had to train on the planet Celsor 3, which was also an icy moon. And they learned how to work together against the Jakusk, which is a great creature name, by the way. So the moral of Star Wars is to stay away from icy planets and moons.
I was going to say that, you know, there's a problem if you see an icy moon or an icy planet. Run the other way.
Stay away, because whatever's there is going to kill you. Yeah. But yeah, I was curious what were your thoughts on the monster, and did it get in the way of the story, or was it necessary to help bring Hunter and Crosshair
closer
together?
Oh, no, it was necessary. There's no way these two could have come to
an understanding
if not being put in a life or death situation.
Yeah.
They definitely needed that. They needed to use their skills to be able to understand each other.
Yeah. And I also love how this episode put Crosshair and Hunter together, as we were just talking about, similar to how the Outpost put Crosshair and Mayday together. And there was that moment in the Outpost when Crosshair had stepped on that mine and Mayday had to get him out of that situation. And now you have here Hunter, who's stuck down there, but now it's Crosshair who's the one that needs to get him out. And I love when Star Wars is deep. Yeah. When Star Wars is deep and meaningful, and it's purposeful. And like how I mentioned earlier, they put these meaningful, purposeful moments in there.
I love when Crosshair says, I'll try. I'll try to get you out. And Hunter goes, you'll try. You know, and Crosshair is like, I'm glad you understood what I said.
Yeah, I'm glad you heard me.
You know, because it's sort of like, don't come saying to me that I said I was going to do it and I didn't do it. You know?
I know, right? Oh, it was great. A Wrecker hugging them was so sweet.
Yeah.
That hug was so adorable. And like how we talked about earlier, part of me wondered whether it was because he felt he should hug his brothers more often, given that they had lost Tech. And my best friend said that she feels like Wrecker is a hugger anyway, which is very true, because we have seen him hug Omega before. But I like to think that he's making more of an effort to show his brothers how much they mean to him.
It's his family.
Yeah.
Like, I know they haven't lost anything before. They were them. They went into these high, stressful, dangerous situations, and they always came back together. They went in together. They came back together.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're one down.
Permanently.
I don't think that
it
it was ever in his eyes, in his mind, that they will never be less than four, that they will always be together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here, now they're only three. And then this thing is happening out there, and he's over there. So when he sees them, it's like, oh, yes.
Relief. Yeah.
God, yes.
Yeah.
You know, we're still together.
Yeah.
I actually tear up on that one.
Yeah. It was such a sweet moment. And I love the implication from Echo that they've fought before.
Yeah.
Enough to draw blood from each other. And I've liked the like this idea of Crosshair and Hunter being the two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Because on a superficial level, they appear to be opposites, but they're fundamentally similar. And I was wondering if that's something you would agree with.
That's why they bumped heads.
Yeah.
They're both... Yeah. You know, people use this word alpha.
Ah.
They're both alphas.
Yes.
You know, just because Hunter was mentioned the leader does not mean that he's the only one capable.
Yes.
And Crosshair, we know Crosshair always acted and stood in that ground like, you're just not my boss, you know?
Yeah. I'm up there with you.
Yeah, exactly. So, they're both of the same type of...
Mentality?
Not necessarily mentality in the fact that they believe in the same things, but in capability, in strength, in position, in standing.
They're
both equal.
And I like the moments between Echo and Omega. I know you mentioned while watching the episodes that Omega's mothering. She was like a mother. To Crosshair and Hunter. But here's Echo mothering her, being caring and supportive. Because he tells her, you did all you could and you did exactly what you're supposed to do. You got out of there. And he's right, because Omega keeps beating herself up. You know, I should have gotten more information. I shouldn't have left the clones behind. But there's only so much she could have done in the position that she was in. And it's also such a relatable feeling because you, me, as individuals with morals, we want to do more and we want to be able to help people more around the world. But sometimes you can't help but feel powerless and like what you're doing isn't enough.
But you also have to take care of yourself.
Yes.
We saw in one of our mini marathon catching up choices over the week, last weekend, one of our favorite FBI shows.
Oh, yes, FBI.
We were catching up, and in the international one, we have one scientist who gets captured with a group of others. And he manages to escape.
Yes.
But he never left the area because he needed to find a way to get the others.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, that was such a heartbreaking episode. He was so happy when he heard that they had rescued
the others.
And he sacrificed a lot for
and
that.
And here's Omega with that obsession. I should have gotten the others out. But you know what? Take care of yourself. You got out. Take care of yourself so that you can help to get the others out.
Yeah, you can fight another day because you can't help them if you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then towards the end of the episode, we get another moment between Crosshair and Hunter. And Crosshair tells him, I've done things. I've made mistakes. To which Hunter says, I have regrets too, Crosshair. And it made me wonder what sort of regrets are plaguing his mind. And having this conversation with you, it's obviously Tech's death, not leaving Crosshair behind, maybe one of them. I remember that was one of the things that he had told Omega way back in season one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure there are things he wished he could have done differently.
Yeah.
And then Hunter finally tells him, all we can do is keep trying to be better. And who knows, there just might be hope for us yet. And me being the Dark Disciple fan that I am, I couldn't help but freak out because that's something that Asajj Ventress tells Quinlan Vos right before she dies. She tells him, remember, you always have a choice to be better. You always have a choice to pick the right path, even if that choice comes a little late. And I love this message because, you know, as people, we try to be better on a day-to-day basis. And I just like, aw, Star Wars.
It's just so cool that it was Asajj Ventress who said this.
Yeah, it was Asajj. It was Asajj who told her. And this is the thing I wish people would get. Quinlan and Asajj changed each other for the better. And I know obviously things happened in that book that just made me go, Quinlan, why? But they were very important parts of their lives for a very short amount of time. They changed each other for the better. And yeah, oh man, I can't wait to see Asajj again. I can't wait. But at the end of the episode, I like how we see the ice vulture flying away. It's sort of moving on, sort of like Crosshair, who's also moving on himself. And I like that his journey comes full circle in the same place where he was at a crossroads, where he had to choose who he's going to become.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other things that had happened in the episode. So let's see here. Echo and Omega hug. That was very sweet.
Oh, when he is Echo.
Yeah. That was so sweet. Batcher digging the snow.
Oh my God.
That was so cute.
Wait, which of them was?
It was Hunter and Wrecker.
Hunter and Wrecker started digging, and Batcher in the back, she looks at Hunter, she looks at Wrecker, and it's sort of like, oh, this is what we're doing. And she started digging, and she digged everything up.
She was so cute. So cute. She was such a good girl. Good girl. And I love that Crosshair got his toothpick back. Even though it fell on the ground. But yeah, it was great seeing Crosshair with his toothpick again. Oh, I loved this. Crosshair and Hunter and the difference in heights.
Oh, yeah.
I just love it because Crosshair is so tall.
Yeah.
And then Hunter is so small. I just love it. And then you see Hunter pushing him. And I'm like, oh, look at you. Look at you, Hunter. Oh, and then when Omega tells Wrecker to prime the breaker. I was like, oh my God,
Jurassic Park.
This is just like Jurassic Park. Is he going to find a mini worm in there or something? But yeah, that's exactly what came to my mind. I was like, this is Jurassic Park. Oh, there were a couple of moments in the episode when Crosshair sounded like Tech.
Yeah.
That was eerie.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
I wonder if that was purposeful.
I wonder. Like, and I think it was something my best friend said. She's like, I wonder if Crosshair's voice then is like he purposefully makes himself sound like that because it helps differentiate him from Tech. And so obviously he can't be soft spoken when yelling. So he has to yell at his full voice, which then sounds like Tech. I wonder what was the decision for D. Bradley Baker there.
Yeah.
And like you can't whisper yell. So he has to like fully scream and yell to Hunter. And I think that's why he sounds more like Tech. But I do wonder like on a day, like from day to day, whether that's a choice that Crosshair chooses to sound different, to sound like that rough, low spoken. Yeah. Mommy, that's definitely not Crosshair.
That's how he sounds in my head.
But yeah, I'm curious. It's sort of like Hera's choice to sound a different way rather than using her natural accent. Like remember when she revealed that accent in that one episode with her dad? I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then one last observation. I love how Omega's the connective tissue in the group. She's sort of like the bridge between Hunter and Crosshair. And we mentioned that in the previous episode when one of the reasons why Crosshair stayed with her or followed her was because she's his way to becoming part of the squad again. And then the next episodes are Infiltration and Extraction. So they're giving us two episodes. So I'm going to insert a spoiler warning here for anyone who hasn't seen the trailers or teasers. So please be aware that that's what we're about to discuss. So we know we'll be seeing Fee again.
Yes.
So that's awesome because I want to see her. She's so good. She's so cool. And maybe this is where she shows up, I'm thinking, because in that trailer, the first trailer, Wrecker, Hunter, and Crosshair were in a moving vehicle on the side of a mountain. And I think that vehicle was also on the bridge where it like shoots a whole bunch of different things. That bridge was also in a hologram with the mountain landscape. So it could be that they're on another mission of some kind for these next two episodes. Maybe they get a heads up that another clone they know has been sent to Tantus. So maybe that's where they need to infiltrate and extract. But I was wondering what you would want to see in the next episode or what you hope to see in the next episode.
I don't hope or wish anything. I just hope that in whatever they give us the things that we would like to see and are missing. Those connections, those remembrances, those things that for whatever reason we haven't seen up to now.
Right, right.
Those acknowledgments. Let's acknowledge the elephant in the room.
Yes.
We were four. We're now three.
Yeah. Well, you mean the core group?
The core group.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know, in the core group.
Yes. Wrecker, Hunter, Crosser, and Tech.
There were four. Now they're three.
Right. Yeah. That's going to be an interesting conversation. Hopefully we get that. So that's it for today's episode. So in our next episode, we'll be discussing infiltration and extraction.
Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.
God.